This next song may be a new one for some of you, so I just want you, especially in the verses, to just close your eyes and picture what we're singing and what we're saying. And to paint you a picture, I'm going to read from Revelation 4. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the Lord, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created."
And I see heaven invading this place, and I see angels praising holy name. I sing praises, I sing praises, give you honor, worthy Jesus. And I see glory falling in this place. I see hope restored, healing of all diseases. I sing praises, I sing praises, give you honor, worthy Jesus. We give you praise in all of the honor. You are God, the one we live for. We give you praise in all of the glory, God. And we give you praise. And
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to New Life Church. My name is Janet, and I'm your host this morning. So we want a special welcome to anyone who's joining us as a guest this morning, whether you're here in person or online. We're really glad that you're joining us. And as the worship team go down, I want to thank them for leading us this morning. And, you know, there was points in that worship time when it sounded like the worship team got way bigger as we all really joined in and sang along. And you think back to those 2 years when we couldn't meet because of COVID, and it's just so wonderful to be able to really praise and worship God together. And so we're glad to have these new people join us. And if you are online, we're welcoming you too. Our aim is to connect you in community. So if you're a guest, you're invited to fill out the Connect card, which you'll find in the seat in front of you, in the pocket there. Or if you are online, you can use the chat room to contact their host. And if you are here, you can go to the info desk afterwards and you will be given a New Life gift bag. So now I want to invite some very special people to come down to the front. If you are 3 years old, 4 years old, or 5 years old, can you come down to the front, please? Your parents can come, and the leaders of the Little Lights groups can also come down to the front. So we'll just give them a couple of minutes to come. Yeah, these are what we call our little lights. And I'm sure they bring a lot of light to their families. We're just going to pray for you, so maybe you want to gather together over here. That's good. Okay, so congregation, if you want to stretch out your hand in blessing over these children, we will pray for them. Okay, so boys and girls, we're all going to pray for you right now. This is a special prayer for you. Okay. Dear Jesus, we thank you for these children. We thank you that you've entrusted us to care for them and teach them your word. We know that you see each of them and have something special to speak to them today. We also want to bless the leaders. Give them energy and wisdom and excitement today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you can go out the door over there to your special program. Yeah, I prayed that the leaders would have energy. I don't think I need to pray that for the children. They seem to have it in buckets. Oh. Some aren't so sure they want to go. Okay, now we have the announcements, and I'd like to tell you a story. A story that starts 20 years ago in the Congo, where a family's house was invaded and the father, who was a politician, was shot and killed. All alone, his adult son escaped because his life was being threatened, and he made his way to South Africa. His pregnant wife was not able to travel with him. When her son was born, it was a baby boy, and he was given his father's name, which meant that the Secret Service wanted to kill him too. So she took her son and went into hiding. After 3 years, she made it to South Africa to join her husband. They now have two more sons, but they have no identification papers, no status. They're just there. They can't go anywhere else until all the necessary paperwork is done. I'm sure you would want to be able to help a family like this. Well, you can. I have described the Colombo family who are waiting for the final visas so that they can come to Canada as refugees. A New Life Church is sponsoring this family. But of course, bringing refugees means that we have to raise some money. So we're having a fundraiser this coming week. It's called Musical Fundraiser, and it's happening Saturday, April the 1st. This will be an amazing night of celebration, music, and culture. We will be enjoying authentic Congolese food and having a silent auction. The event starts at 7 and is open to all ages. Tickets are $20 per person or $15 for youth and children. So this is the last Sunday you can purchase the tickets in the foyer after the service. But you can get them online if you visit newlifecrc.ca/events. Our featured musician for the evening is the nephew of the Colombo family who lives here in Abbotsford. And that part of the family has been here for several years now. And this guy, Paul, with his music team are excited to worship the Lord and have this Shereka with us. So that sounds a really exciting event. And when you heard the background story, I'm sure you do want to help support that. So we're going to have another New Life Connect. What's that, you might be thinking? Well, it's a class that goes on. It starts on April the 16th and it goes for 3 consecutive weeks. This class will be following the Sunday service from 12 to 2 and lunch will be provided. These are casual classes with Pastor Nathan for those interested in baptism, profession of faith, membership, and the inner workings of New Life. Please email the office if you're interested in joining the class. If you call New Life home, please spread the word to those of the New Life community. Okay, so that's coming up April 16th. Before that, we have Easter. You're invited to observe the Good Friday at New Life Church and to remember the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. On Friday, April the 7th, Good Friday, at 6 p.m., we're having a worship service, including Lord's Supper. And on Sunday, April the 9th, at 10 o'clock, our regular time, we're celebrating Christ's resurrection and his victory over sin and death. And let's all be here to celebrate that together. And I think there's going to be some food or cakes or something afterwards so we can really enjoy being together for Easter. So we're going to worship God with our offering. And today it's for our New Life Missions Fund. This fund supports 4 missionaries and 6 mission partners across the globe. Currently, we have a team from New Life in Bogota, Colombia, serving with the brand New Life Society and Fernando Trevino. You can give your offering electronically, or you can bring it to one of our offering boxes, which are up at the front. And you can do that during the fellowship time. But the offering, we will remember as we pray together, and that is part of our worship to God too. So let's pray for our offering and our mission partners and a few other things together now. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give to the work of our mission partners. We thank you for the men who are helped through the work of Joshua House. And we pray for strength and wisdom for their leaders. We pray for the youth of Abbotsford reached by Youth Unlimited. We pray for the people of the west coast of the island close to Esperanza. We pray for our ministries in Lari, Honduras, Cora in Ethiopia. Lord, you know their needs, and we ask that you will provide them with the help that they need. We pray specifically for Brand New Life Ministry in Bogota, where we have our team currently working. We ask, Lord, that you'll bless each one of them and give them health and safety as they finish their work there. Lord, we remember too people of our own congregation who are in hospital or recently come home from hospital, who have health issues at home, who are suffering in one way or another. Lord, we pray that you will touch them, but also that you will use us to reach out to them and give them the help and encouragement that they need. Help us to be a caring community to one another. And Lord, we also ask a blessing on Chao Leng as he brings your word to us this morning. May we have open ears and hearts to all that you want us to learn from you. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Well, we have connections worldwide. We're selling coffee from Honduras. We have a team in Colombia. We have tickets for a Korean, for a Congolese evening. We have a message from someone from China, an announcement from an import from the UK. You never know who you might meet here. And you've got 3 minutes now to see if you can find someone new who comes from somewhere different.
All right, time to sit down. Okay, can I get your attention? Hello? Hi. It's time to sit down and... Okay, get a coffee, bring it to your chair, and we'll settle down shortly. Taylor wrote to me and said that it's going to be a challenge usually to get people to quiet down and have a seat after 3 minutes. But he says, don't you worry, you are a guest pastor, so I think they will give you face. But apparently not. First of all, I want to say that this is not a prop for my sermon this morning. And I'm not preaching from Ephesians 6 on putting on the armor of God. I had a neck surgery a month ago. And it's healing very well. In fact, I can take off this brace most of the time. But when I'm outside the house, especially in a crowded area, I put it on more, not just to hold the neck together, but more importantly, to warn people around me that I have a fragile neck. And knowing that in this church, most men are 6 foot and above. And a number of them are quite fond of me, and they usually will come from behind and give me a bear hug. So this is to kind of warn people not to do that. Many of you know that my family lived in Israel for 12 years, and during that time, because we're so much into Israel life and all that, a lot of my friends in Singapore and some people here in Canada started to call me a Chinese Jew. I guess with this surgery and what my neck is going through now, I can now officially be called a stiff-necked Chinese Jew. I also want to assure you that I have a very loving wife who is not known for any kind of violence. Because some of you said this morning to me, ah, finally your wife has fixed you good. So, let me just take this off so that I can be a little more easier in my movement. Am I good? You can still hear me? This morning I'm going to continue with a series, Portrait of a Savior, with my sermon entitled Willingness. And it's based on Matthew chapter 26, verses 47 to 56. I'm going to read to you right now. While he, referring to Jesus, was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you came for." Then a man stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, Jesus' companions, referring actually to Simon Peter, reached out for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot draw or cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that says it must happen in this way?" At the time, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple called teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted and fled. Would you pray with me? Lord God Almighty, we thank you for the time of worship, of prayer, of fellowship. And now as we share your word, we ask for your anointing and empowerment on the one who speaks and on all who hear. May your words not return unto you void, but take root in our hearts of hearts, that we may be diligent in following the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. Cleanse us and remove us from all sins. Let nothing hinder the teaching and the hearing of your word. For in this we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, Amen. From the passage that we just read, I'd like to share on four aspects. First, from verses 47 to 49, set up betrayal by his own disciple. Second division, verse 50, submission and sacrifice. And then 51 to 53, sword and violence have no place in kingdom work. And finally, verses 54 to 56, scriptures must be fulfilled. Let's go on to the first division, set up betrayal by his own disciples. This is from 47 to 49. We see from the beginning that this is a plot of an insider betrayal. Verse 47a tells us, this was not just a simple betrayal by a friend, but one of Jesus' own chosen disciples. Can you imagine the kind of grief and brokenness that Jesus had to endure? Jesus was one of the 12 disciples. He had spent 3 years following Jesus. They traveled together. They ate and drank together every day. They probably slept in the same tent or in close proximity. Judas saw the many miracles performed by Jesus, witnessed how he healed the sick and even raised the dead. Judas experienced the love of God through Jesus. He took part in Jesus' ministry work. How is it? How is it like to be betrayed by your beloved disciple? It is definitely not a good feeling. The extent of Jesus' willingness to go to the cross is indeed beyond compare. My dear friends, have you been betrayed by a close friend or a relative? I have known and heard of many Christians who have chosen to leave their church because they felt betrayed by fellow believers and sometimes even church leaders. Our Lord Jesus did not give up his mission, even though many of his disciples have time and again disappointed him. Last Sunday, Pastor Nathan shared with us how Jesus' three closest disciples fell asleep while our Lord agonized in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Beloved, if we place our faith on fellow believers and even church leaders, we will surely be disappointed. Our Lord Jesus, human as he was, agonized through those extreme moments of hurts, pains, and eventual physical sufferings. Cry out to God the Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but as you will. Matthew 26, verse 39. Is your faith focused on God's word and in our Jehovah God? Just like our Lord Jesus. If so, our faith will not waver even when we are betrayed by our closest friend, relative, fellow Christians, or even church leaders. Next, 47b says, the plan that guaranteed a successful arrest. Now, this was a very carefully planned arrest as it involved huge contingent consisting of Roman soldiers, Levitical temple police, personal security guards of the high priest, as well as the Sanhedrin. They came with swords and clubs. In other words, the arresting contingent arranged by Judas was very determined to ensure that this arrest would be a successful operation. And then there was a prearranged signal to identify Jesus. What was the signal? Judas said, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." Now, it is customary that men in ancient Israel and even today would greet each other with a kiss to the cheek. And here I'm talking about men kissing another man on the cheek. Like I said, I lived in Israel for 12 years. I have lost count the number of times men have kissed me on my cheek in those 12 years. You're supposed to laugh. This prearranged signal by Judas was necessary, as many in the arresting contingent might not have seen him before. But a more telling point in verse 49 is where we read that Judas addressed Jesus as Rabbi and not Lord. While all other disciples have addressed Jesus as Lord, Judas was the only one who consistently addressed him Rabbi, clearly indicating his non-commitment to the Lordship of Jesus in his life. So, why such an elaborate scheme for the arrest of Jesus? Let me share briefly 2 points. The crowd was expecting a conqueror type of Messiah to overcome Roman oppression. In Matthew 21, we read that and Jesus came into Jerusalem triumphantly. It's a triumphant entry into Jerusalem just a week earlier, or earlier in that week. He was received with such enthusiasm, such expectation, as they shouted, "Hosanna in the highest." Matthew 21 further tells us that the whole city of Jerusalem was stirred up. Israel at that time was under the oppression of the Roman Empire for far too long. They wanted to be liberated. Thus, they had expected a Messiah who would come with such mighty force and power to overthrow the Roman authority. They were expecting a military type of commander or conqueror. With such popularity of Jesus, no wonder Judas summoned such a huge contingent of people to ensure the arrest would be successful. Secondly, the crucified Messiah, an anomaly to the Jews and the world at large. The thought of their Messiah being sent to the cross to be crucified was something unthinkable, not only to the Jews, but the world at large, including Jesus' own chosen disciples. Quite frankly, many people in today's world have chosen not to believe in Christianity because in their minds, a savior of the world could not possibly be nailed on the cross, let alone between two worlds of criminals. But this is precisely God's plan of salvation for humanity. Only a crucified Jesus, who endured all the humiliations and all the pains, could redeem us from our bondage to sins. Soon we'll be celebrating Easter, commemorating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, who conquered death to give us life eternal. Jesus sacrificed his life for each one of us. Let's go to the second division, submission and sacrifice, verse 50. Jesus called Judas, my friend. The Greek word used in this text is hetairos. Hetairos is used three times by Jesus in the book of Matthew. And each time, Jesus used it to address a person who abused a privileged relationship. The first mention was in Matthew 20, the laborers in a vineyard. And the second mention was in Matthew 22, the parable of the wedding feast. And here in verse 50, again Jesus called Judas hetairos. Indeed, Judas was that person who abused his privileged relationship with Jesus, even though Jesus had loved him and cared for him as his very own. Jesus says, friend, do what you came to do. Jesus said to him, friend, do what you came to do. Now, Judas was able to do that, not because of his clever ploy or scheme, but because Jesus allowed him. The extent of Jesus' willingness to fully submit and surrender to God can be seen in three areas. First, control of his own destiny, but Jesus chose to be obeyed. Certainly, Jesus had full control of his own destiny, but he chose to allow the arrest to take place because of his full submission to God the Father. And in order to fulfill God's plan of salvation for humanity. And therefore, he willingly sacrificed his life in order to accomplish what he was sent for. The cruelest kind of death, to be crucified on the cross. That sacrifice includes dying the cruelest kind of death, to be crucified on the cross. Would you be willing to die for the cause of the gospel? That was the extent of Jesus' willingness. Thirdly, Christ's death in exchange for humanity's salvation. The only way to reconcile man with God was for Jesus to die so that our sins can be fully be repaid. There is no other way. Let's go to our third division. Swords and violence have no place in kingdom work. Verses 51 to 53. Just as the arresting contingent was about to make the arrest, Simon Peter, the most vocal disciple of Jesus, and he often got into trouble as well, right? He came forward, drew his sword, and cut off one of the servant's ears. And immediately Jesus stopped him and said, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Dear friends, sadly, even though Jesus has never advocated violence in the advancement of the gospel, we have seen how violence had been used in the name of God throughout church history to promulgate the gospel. And unfortunately, such violence still prevails today. We have had a shameful and sad church history of using violence for the gospel. Looking at church history, we must feel sad and ashamed that violence has been wrongly used in many instances by Christians in their effort to evangelize the world. Swords and violence were never Jesus' way of winning the world for kingdom work or for God's kingdom. Jesus made it very blatantly clear. Swords and violence were never God's way of bringing salvation to humanity, even when faced with opposition and resistance. When communism took over China in 1949, Christians there suffered a lot of opposition, persecutions, sufferings, and even imprisonment. Some have died in the cause of the gospel. Instead of taking on violent revolt against the communist authorities, believers in China decided to go underground. They met in small groups in house churches without any support from overseas Christians. Many foreign missionaries who have been driven out of China at that time predicted the demise of the church in China in a matter of years. But the opposite happened. Over the next few decades, the church in China grew explosively throughout the country. We do not have an accurate data on the actual size of the Christian population in China today, but it is estimated that there are some 120 to 150 million Christians in China today. Praise the Lord! This happened without the use of violence. Summoning legions of angels to rescue Jesus could have been done in an instant. Jesus could have escaped this carefully planned address by Judas. He said in verse 53 that God would have easily sent him more than 12 legions of angels, and that could have saved him if he wanted to. But Jesus did not. Let's go on to our last division, verses 54 to 56. The reason why Jesus didn't want to be rescued is stated in verse 54. But how then should scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so? Brothers and sisters, deceptions and manipulations can never thwart God's purposes. Indeed, evil people can plan deceitful schemes and even manipulate crowds to go against Jesus. But they can never, never thwart God's purposes and plan of salvation for humanity. Deeds of the enemies, evil deeds of the enemies, used to accomplish God's plan. On the contrary, evil men can plant all kinds of schemes. Yet God could and often use men's evil deeds to accomplish his plan, just as in the case of Judas' betrayal and carefully plotted scheme of Jesus' arrest. Divine word of God must be fulfilled. Jesus says in verse 55b, every day I sat in temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. In other words, there was really no need for such an elaborate scheme for his arrest, because Jesus' daily movements were no secret. In fact, well known to the people, to the Roman authorities and the Jewish authorities as well. So what is the point here? The point here is in verse 56, but this has all taken place that the scriptures of the prophets must be fulfilled. This is referring to the prophecies predicting the wickedness surrounding Jesus' death and crucifixion in many of the Old Testament passages, especially in Isaiah 53 and Zechariah chapter 12 and 13. Let me conclude. As we are about to commemorate Good Friday and Easter, let us remember each portrait of Jesus as depicted for us by the Apostle Matthew in his Gospel. In the passage today, we see the willingness of our Lord Jesus to go to the cross despite knowing that he will be betrayed by one of his own beloved disciples, and yet willingly submit to the will of God, the Father, in sacrificing his own life for the sake of our salvation. In the process, he warns us against the use of violence in the promulgation of the gospel and reminded us that scriptures must be fulfilled. In summarizing Jesus' willingness to endure all sufferings, humiliations, and shame before being crucified on the cross, the renowned theologian Dr. Michael Wilkins has this to say: but the blood of Jesus' cross is a fact of history that offers the only good news, that the incarnate Son of God willingly endured an ignominious death so that humanity can experience a glorious life that is liberated from sin's death gap. Indeed, only Jesus' death, even though as he has gone through all shame and humiliations and pain and suffering, his death on the cross is the only way that can liberate us from the grip of our sin that could lead to death and his destruction. Hallelujah! Praise God! Because of what Jesus' willingness to do, walking to the cross, you and I here today can sit here because we profess our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in him, we trust our faith in him, and we continue to follow him. Just as our Lord Jesus was willing to follow and do what God had designed for him. Beloved brothers and sisters, are we willing to follow his footsteps? Are we willing to follow in the footsteps of Jesus? Deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow him. Even if we have to suffer for the sake of the gospel. All for the kingdom work that has left behind by our Lord Jesus. Brothers and sisters, are you willing? I am. Let us all come together and be willing to put our trust and faith in being that follower of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, we are just so very thankful because of your willingness to go to the cross, to suffer all humiliations, pain, and suffering, Lord, that you can willingly be crucified in an unthinkable kind of death. But yet, because of your willingness, you have liberated us from the grief of sins and death. We are thankful that we who profess Jesus as our Lord and Savior and have chosen to follow him will receive life eternal. May we be willing to continue proclaiming Jesus as Lord of this whole world. as we continue to share and witness for you to those who have yet to know you in our family, in our neighborhood, in our community, in our city, our province, our country, and to the ends of the earth. May we be willing to say, yes, Lord, count me in. I want to be not only a follower of Jesus, but I want to also to be his witness, to bring him glory and honor. So help us, God. We commit this to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. As the worship team bring us the last song, just as the Lord would touch your hearts and he say, yes, Lord, because you're willing, I'm willing too. You could quietly, where you are seated, say a prayer and say, Lord, I'm willing. Or you can come forward and stand before here and pray to the Lord and say, Lord, count me in. I'm willing to be your disciple, to be a follower, even through good times as well as bad times, in suffering and in pain. Lord, I'm willing.
Please stand. Working all things out, working.
Let us remain standing as we receive the benediction from our Lord. Yes, Lord, may we be willing to submit and surrender our life to you. Deny ourselves, pick up the cross, and follow Jesus. And now to him who is able to keep you from falling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.